Good morning. This is Bob. I will be reading from the Decatur Herald and Review on November 17, 2015. Our first article today is Revenue Proposals Hit Brick Wall, written by Allison Petty. The Decatur City Council delayed or rejected three major revenue proposals Monday in a lengthy meeting filled with passionate public opposition. The council voted to table ordinances that would create a local motor fuel tax of 5 cents per gallon and an annual video gaming fee of $750 per machine when the majority failed to support tabling liquor license fee increases. All seven council members voted against the proposal, which would increase most liquor licenses from $2,000 to $5,000 per year. All three measures were proposed by City Manager Tim Gleason as a way to fund projects that he said otherwise would not be included in the city's 2016 budget. The local motor fuel tax, which previous councils have discussed several times over the past few years, would have paid for road improvements. Council members asked for more information, particularly as three members who joined this year have not participated in a study session on the subject. The three measures were meant to fund urban revitalization efforts that Gleason introduced in a November 2nd presentation to council. Most opposition came from local business owners in response to the liquor and gaming fee proposals. Many said the move would hurt or close businesses and put people out of work. Our next article is regarding the Lincoln Theater Premiere Draws Closer by Kevin Barlow. Nearly every day, David Lanterman is asked for the same question. When will the Lincoln Theater 4 become the Lincoln Grand 8 Theater? He'd hoped to have the project finished before Star Wars Episode 7 is released on December 18th, and we are still hoping for that. We will have the movie here no matter what, but we are hoping to have it play on one of the new screens. The almost $6 million project, partially funded by tax increment financing, is the starting point for a downtown development project that began more than a year ago. The Grand 8 will have 8 screens, including 6 new ones. Walkways between the facade will link the old building to the new one. Grand 8 will add 775 seats, a new lobby, and exterior streetscape. We only have the ability to play 4 shows, and sometimes we get into a situation where we don't have room to show a really good movie when it comes out. He said Lincoln is in a great location, and it's near Decatur, Springfield, Bloomington, and Peoria, so residents have options and then can easily go someplace else if we don't have it here. But I don't want to force people to go out of town. The theater at 215 South Kickapoo opened in 1895 as the Broadway, with seats auctioned off for the first performance. It was rebuilt in 1922, but destroyed by fire in 1960. It was rebuilt again by owners JKC Theaters. Carmike Cinemas bought the theater in 2005 and sold it to Lanterman 6 years later. Fire destroyed the 7 buildings in the block in 2008. Another fire destroyed the then nearby Oasis Center in 2013. The next article, Crackles Plans a New Location on the West Side, written by Chris Lasvardi. An iconic business on Decatur's west side is about to get a makeover. Construction is beginning for a freestanding Crackles West location, which is currently located in Colonial Mall at 1355 Illinois 48. Owner Todd Teal said it will be the first Crackles in Decatur built from the ground up. It's not going to look like other Crackles, Teal said Monday during a groundbreaking ceremony. We want something to call our own. We're going to make that happen. A 3,000 square foot building will be built in a lot just north of the existing store, Teal said. It will feature a drive-through and covered patio space, he said. Teal is hoping to provide easy access to the building for customers. The color scheme will be different from the other Crekles in the area, as it will be light gray with a red stripe, Teal said. Teal and his wife Cindy have been working on the project for about a year and a half. They expect construction to be completed within the 5 months, depending on the weather over the winter. They're starting to see the picture in their minds be realized, he said. It's going to be an amazing thing, said Teal, who started working at the Crekles on Wood Street as a teenager and joined the West location full-time in 2006. The first Crekles opened in 1953. In addition to the West location, four others are located throughout Decatur and Mount Zion. Local officials are hoping the construction will lead to other development in the area, particularly as small business grows north, said Patrick Hoban. The city's economic development officer, Hoban, would like development to go further to the north in the area surrounding a new county market store and expanding Akron Inc. pharmaceuticals facility near the remodeled MacArthur High School. Our next article will be Mount Zion Plans to Raise Property Tax by Ryan Voiles. Mount Zion. A mandated increase to the Mount Zion's police pension fund will likely result in a higher property tax levy for the coming fiscal year. The village board approved a preliminary tax levy of $101.09 million, which goes down to $916,975.47 after debt removal. The overall levy would increase by 9 cents per 100 of equalized assessed valuation. The increase would cost the owner of a $75,000 home an additional $25.20. While nearly all the proposed levies will be flat, the biggest change is coming from the local police pension levy. The amount levied would be $200,096.08, well above the $126,000 for this year. The $296,815 was the minimum amount the village can levy for the pension due to the actuary report that determined the funding level necessary to fulfill the village's statutory obligation to the fund. The plan was one of two presented to the board by Michael Foster on behalf of the pension plan for the police. The first request of $296,815 is to recover 8 employees with tier 2 status and 3 employees with tier 1 status. The other option was to level $347,958, which would cover 3 employees with Tier 2 status and 8 employees with Tier 1 status. There has been some discussion between the village and the pension board about how many employees should be placed in Tier 1 status, which provides better benefits such as earlier retirement. Since the city reached 5,000 residents, it was required by state statute in $2,000 to leave the Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund and establish a Mount Zion Police Pension Fund. In other business, village officials said they have no immediate plans to create a local motor fuel tax or increase fees on local gambling licenses. As Decatur City Council discusses these policies, Village Administrator Judy Miller said only the potential gas tax would be of interest to the village. She told the board that if Decatur does pass a local motor fuel tax of 5 cents per gallon, which was tabled at Monday night's city meeting, she would not be surprised if businesses in neighboring communities were to increase their own gas prices to net a larger profit. If it goes as Miller predicts, she said that extra change could be money that the village could use to improve its roads. Our next article regards Scoville Zoo losing Tusa. After more than a year at Scoville Zoo, Tusa, the red panda, will strike out next month for a new home at the Smithsonian's National Zoo in Washington, D.C. Tusa was born June 27, 2014, to parents Clay and Katie, Clay being 7 years old and Katie being 3 years old, who will remain in Decatur. With their heart-shaped faces and fluffy orange fur, the animals are popular with visitors. It was fun seeing him as a baby here, zoo director Ken Fry said. He was incredibly adorable as a baby and made all kinds of funny, snorting sounds. He was not real cuddly, but we liked to hold him anyway. Of course, that changed as Tusa matured and his claws grew sharp. He is the first animal from Scoville Zoo that Fry can recall moving to the National Zoo. Affectionately named Chubbs as a youngster, Tusa grew to the larger than both of his parents and 14 pounds. His nickname is appropriate as Tusa means baby bamboo shoot in Nepal, a language spoken in the region where the species is native. Because Scoville Zoo is accredited through the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, its red pandas are part of a species survival program that makes breeding and housing recommendations. The goal is to create generic diversity among the animals in zoos and ensure there is enough space for all the red pandas that are born. Clay and Katie are not recommended to breed again next year. They'll continue to live side by side at Scoville Zoo, sometimes touching as they curl up for naps on either side of a wire barrier. Fry said Tusa will fly to Washington, D.C. sometime in December. He'll be alone, traveling in a crate, but Scoville Zoo staff will drop him off at an airport and National Zoo staff will pick him up. A new adventure awaits him there. Jen Zoon, communications specialist for the National Zoo, said Tusa would be an exhibit with a female red panda who will also come from another zoo. Our next article today regards arrests following alleged arson attempt, written by Huey Freeman. James Tipsword, 43, of Decatur, is being held in jail on a $41,000 bond after he allegedly tried to set fire to a house occupied by adults and children on the northeast side. A homeowner on the 900 block of East Curtis Avenue told police he let Tipsword stay in his shed for a couple of nights, but on Wednesday he asked Tipsword to leave because he allegedly stole a nail gun, said an affidavit by Decatur Patrol Officer Megan Wedge. About 4 p.m. Thursday, Tipsword came to the residence looking for the homeowner. "I'll chop his head off and kill him," Tipsword said about the man, a witness told police. That evening, there were 9 people in the residence, including 3 young children. There were 2 vehicles on the property, and lights were on inside, indicating there were people present. Someone told the homeowner that there was an individual on the front yard with a gas can. The homeowner immediately went outside and observed James Tipsword standing directly in front of a vehicle parked in the front yard of the residence. Tipsword The homeowners notice that the vehicle is in the front yard and the siding on the front of the residence had been doused in gasoline. When officers arrived, they located a 2-gallon gasoline can between the vehicle, a 2000 Ford Excursion, and the front of the house. The stretch of gasoline was detected on a 3-by-8-foot section of siding, as well as both drivers' side doors on the vehicle. Officers located Tipsort a short time later in a camper parked in the backyard of a house across the street. Tipsort was arrested on a charge of attempted aggravated arson. He is due in court for his arraignment on Friday. Tipsort has 5 criminal convictions in McLean County for crimes including domestic battery, robbery, and theft. He has served 2 sentences in the Department of Corrections. We will now cover a few brief articles from the local section. The first one coming from Arcola. There was a fatal U.S. 45 collision. A Gaze man was killed Monday when his car rolled head-on with a truck on U.S. 45 south of Arcola. Caleb Rakestraw, 21, was pronounced dead at the scene of the 12:25 p.m. crash, 1/2 mile south of Illinois 133, as Rakestraw was southbound. State police say he crossed into the northbound lanes for an unknown reason and hit the northbound truck driven by Michael Poynton, 40, of Lerna, who was not injured. The crash remained under investigation Monday by the state police and Douglas County Coroner Joseph Victor. The police said Monday night that no charges are pending. The crash resulted in the blockage of U.S. 45 for several hours. The second article is from Decatur regarding a vigil for the Paris attacks. A candlelight vigil to remember the victims of recent terrorist attacks in Paris will be 5:30 p.m. on Tuesday in the lower level of Millikan University's Richards Treat Center. Millikan Center for International Education is organizing the event. The next brief is from Clinton, Illinois. Man's death investigated. Authorities continue to look into the death of a 49-year Clinton man who died along a roadway Monday morning in that community. Clinton Police Chief Ben Lowers identified the man as Paul Randy Cox. Lowers said an autopsy is scheduled for Monday afternoon. Authorities were notified about 6:30 a.m. that a person lying near the roadway in the 500 block of East Van Buren Street near the subway shop on Clinton's east side. The next brief, also from Clinton, downtown fire cleanup. The cleanup continues following a Sunday night fire that damaged a downtown coffee shop, some neighboring businesses, and an apartment occupied by a couple who were away on their honeymoons. About 6:30 p.m. Sunday, the Clinton Fire Department was alerted that smoke was seen in the hallways above the Clinton Travel Agency on the east side of the square. Firefighters quickly extinguished the fire that started on the first floor of the loft, said Clinton Interim Fire Chief David Dallas. The Clinton Chiropractic Center was closed Monday because of the smoke damage, but is expected to reopen this afternoon. The loft restaurant owner indicated she would rebuild. 2 cats in the apartment of Jeremiah and Alexandria Butler were saved. The couple married on Saturday and were in Wisconsin on their honeymoon, said Jeremiah's aunt, Pam Butler. Dallas said the fire's origin was electrical. The next brief is from Decatur regarding gunshots that hit a car. An 18-year-old Decatur man escaped injury when the car he was sitting and was hit multiple times by gunfire. Police reports say the vehicle was shot in the 400 block of East Division Street about 1 p.m. Friday. Detectives are seeking the suspect. The next brief, also from Decatur, phone scam reported. Police are warning landlords and property managers to watch for a crank caller who claims to be a police detective wanting to serve a warrant and ask the person to meet him. A Macon County Sheriff's Office said the caller identifies himself as Detective Benson, but no such person exists within any law enforcement agency in Macon County. The caller claims he needs to serve a warrant for seizure of property. A check of his callback number came as a Strasburg cell phone no longer in service. If you receive this call, hang up and do not give the person calling any of your information or agree to meet anywhere, said Sheriff Lieutenant Jamie Belcher. And the next brief, also from Decatur, St. Mary's Open House. A St. Mary's Hospital Surgical Services Open House will be from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Wednesday, November 18th, in the lobby of the 1800 East Lakeshore Drive for its newly required Da Vinci Robotic Surgical System with Firefly technology for minimally invasive procedures. The new system will be on display and accessible to the public. For more information, visit stmarysdecatur.com. Our next local article regards solicitation of child sex accounts filed by Huey Freeman. A 25-year-old Springfield man was arraigned Monday in Macon County Circuit Court on three felony counts for admittedly trying to meet a 14-year-old boy to have sexual relations with him. Evan M. Greider is being held in jail on a $65,000 bond on preliminary charges of indecent solicitation of a child, two counts, and one count of traveling to meet a minor, each a Class 3 crime punishable by 2 to 5 years in prison. If convicted on any count, Greider will be ordered to register as a sex offender for 10 years. As part of a Decatur police investigation on police attempting to have sex with children, Detective Todd Kester found an online Craigslist that said, "Looking for young police officer," said an affidavit by Kester. The ad said in part, "I need me a BF and I so want to be in a relationship with a young gay police officer. I'm 25 and single and need a boyfriend and a good one." Keister sent a message to him through the Craigslist email system saying he was a 14-year-old but liked dudes and cops, Keister wrote in his statement. During subsequent text messages, Evan discussed various sex acts that he wanted to perform with the 14-year-old upon meeting. Greider agreed to drive to Decatur to pick up the 14-year-old for the purpose of a sexual relationship. When he arrived at the destination, Greider was arrested. He admitted during a police interview that he posted an ad on Craigslist and communicated with what he believed to be a 14-year-old for the purposes of a sexual relationship. Greider is due in court for his preliminary hearing December 2nd. Activities happening in Decatur. A soup lunch. Members will be honored with an appreciation soup lunch at noon Thursday, November 19th in the Decatur-Macon County Senior Center at 1430 North 22nd Street. The cost is $5 for members and non-members. A bake sale Thursday and Friday will also benefit the center. Reservations are due by Wednesday, November 18th, by calling 217-429-1239. Next, there is a history talk in Decatur. Patrick Sullivan, author of a forthcoming book about World War II soldiers from Macon County, will speak at 1:30 p.m. Friday at the Macon County History Museum, 5580 North Fork Road. His talks will be about his pending book, We Who Were There, a collection of Macon County's World War II stories. Admission is $2, and donations will help with the cost of publishing the book. Now we will cover the calendar for Tuesday, November 17th. Some events: dancing, line dance lessons, Salvation Army Decatur, 217-428-1560, beginners, 1 p.m., intermediate, 2 p.m. Others are Ladies' Day Out, 6:30 p.m., Wright's Furniture, Dieterich, $5. Reservations required, 1-800-214-0588. Mini Camp, I Spy Turkeys, 9:30 to 10:30 a.m., Rock Springs Nature Center, Decatur, $10. 217-423-7708 for ages 1 to 5, accompanied by an adult. Pre-registration required. Open House, 1 to 3:30 p.m., Sulphur Springs Schoolhouse, Fletcher Park, Mount Zion, 217-864-5424. And Sleepy Time Tales, 6:30 p.m., Mount Zion District Library, for ages 3 to 5. Registration required, 217-864-3622. Some exhibits in Decatur: Annual Ann Lloyd Gallery, Madden Art Center, Decatur, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday. Exquisite Detail Photography by Barbara Hoffman and Sally Van Natta. Aronson Art Gallery, Richland Community College, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., Monday to Friday, when classes are in session. Scene Eye Photography Contest, winners through Friday, 217-875-7211, extension 386. Then there's the Chevrolet Hall of Fame Museum, Decatur, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., ages 13 and older, $9, ages 3 to 12, $3. Call 217-791-5793. At the Decatur Airport Gallery, there are paintings by Judy Kemmons. Gallery 510 Arts Guild, Decatur, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., 217-422-1500, Nature and Nurture by Barbara Dove. We will take a break now and return with the second half hour of the newspaper of the Decatur Herald and Review. Please stay tuned.